All participants, please stand by. Your conference is ready to begin. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome everyone to the U.S. Oil Sands Incorporated conference call. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Cameron Todd, Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Todd, please go ahead.
Thank you, Valerie. And from myself and my team here, welcome to the U.S. Oil Sands conference call. I'm joined in the room here with the executive team of U.S. Oil Sands, Glenn Snarr, the CFO, Tim Wall, the Vice President of Engineering, and Barclay Cuthbert, the Vice President of Operations. Today's call is directed towards shareholders primarily, oriented towards the update of the company's operational performance, and more particularly to the recent press release that we issued on Monday. Fairly fulsome press release highlighted by the announcement of an equity rights offering financing that is available to shareholders. And this offering is one that requires a decision to be made by shareholders, an important one. And we want to make sure that that all shareholders have all the information that they might need to make the decision on whether to participate. Along with the discussion in the group here today, we have a presentation. That presentation should be available on the internet at the site that you've clicked into, so hopefully you've got that. And if you are having any difficulty with it, I would direct you to the links that are on our website and were listed in the press release. Today's presentation we called Reaching the Finish Line. Our company has been engaged in oil sand development and technology of mineable extraction for many years. We went public 5 years ago, and we've been on a journey ever since to get our first project up and running. We believe that the end is in sight, and financing that we have discussed is core to that completion. Before starting, I would highlight that there is a forward-looking statement. I think it's important that you be aware of the legal implications. A lot of what we speak about are opinions of management and predictions and forecasts, a lot of forward-looking information, and that information is subject to many risks, and those are highlighted in the forward-looking statement. On the third slide, this slide kind of tells the whole story. USO's value proposition is crystallized by virtue of completing our first project. Once we complete this financing targeted for the end of May, we will be able to complete the construction on the first phase of construction of our project. Our first phase of operations will begin shortly thereafter. The project is close to complete now, 90% constructed. With the operation of the project, we hope to demonstrate the commerciality of our unique extraction process. And that extraction process is one that nobody else has come close to meeting. It is an ability to extract oil from oil sands in a environmentally sustainable fashion. It does so without a tailings pond, it does so at very low capital cost, and it can do so at low oil prices. So we believe this is a game-changing technology, certainly one that we expect to create lots of value from our existing leases and potentially could be expanded to operations in other oil sand deposits. USO is a technology-rich company. We are good innovators. We've developed unique technology, which is patented and which we're continuing to develop new patents. So our company is geared to be the leading oil sand developer, particularly in regards to environmental responsibility. Turning to page four. Anybody who's been following the oil business or any of the headlines in newspapers these days knows that the oil world has been topsy-turvy for at least the last 2 years. And it's been so because oil prices have fallen greatly, more than 60%. And those prices have fallen because there is an excess of supply. Demand did not keep up with it. But don't let the last 2 years mislead you. The world runs on oil. It needs a lot of it. It grows more every day in its demand for oil as well as other sources of energy. It's predicted that 100 million barrels a day will be needed by 2020 in spite of the current oil price and lack of development that's happening in many parts. Oil is an important part of our future. It's not the only energy source, and certainly there will be a mix of many types. This excess supply will not persist, and we do expect prices will rise eventually, but it may be some time. The world of oil, however, has changed. The characteristics of successful oil producers in the future are going to be different than those in the past. To be a successful producer and developer of oil, you'll need low capital cost, efficient operations, and the world is demanding that it be environmentally sustainable and responsible. I turn to page 5. The world is a growing world. By 2050, the United Nations is predicting that the world population will reach 9 billion from its 7 billion today. Oil that's conserved in the developing world, where many of us are trying to cut back and find more energy-efficient ways to live our lives, more and more oil is being consumed in the developing world, and that's where a lot of that extra demand comes from. We know that energy is important in our world, and every energy-generating process has its impacts on the environment, on the social structure, on our world. It has an impact on land, on the use of materials used in manufacturing, has impact on wildlife, on water, on the social environment. What is the most sustainable energy source, and what will be required in sustainability in order to meet society's expectations while feeding the world's demand for energy is the question that we aim to put our own foot forward on. We believe that sustainable energy development is the key for the future. Climate change is important to sustainability. So, too, is the key of achieving a balance while providing enough food, enough energy, enough water for the needs of 9 billion people. Increasingly, we find ourselves looking for technology solutions to these difficult challenges of sustainability. We believe that energy innovation is critical to sustainability, and we believe that our company is on the forefront of that innovation. Page 6. USO, as I mentioned, is an innovator of oil sand extraction technologies. We have a patented and low-cost solvent process. Our solvent is a biosolvent that comes from oranges. But it's not our only technology innovation and not the only one that we will have in the future. We continue to innovate and drive forward a low-cost, environmentally sustainable approach to development. We're the first surface mining oil sands operation to use concurrent reclamation, whereby the oil sand that has been had the oil removed from it is deposited back in the mine and reclaimed immediately. We're the first to use a continuous surface mining machine for oil sand ore, which allows us to recover variable deposits and more appropriately extract the oil from them. We use real-time on-site sampling and modern spectrometers on-site to manage the process. And we are continuing to advance our technology with several patents currently also in the pipeline for development. Page 7. Our process for extraction is a breakthrough. It's never been done before. It's pretty unique, as you might admit, when you think about using a biodegradable solvent that comes from citrus to extract oil. But that solvent works spectacularly in a highly efficient mechanism for very high bitumen recovery, reaching up to 96% in our tests at our pilot facilities. And by virtue of a very clean extraction, we're able to eliminate the use of tailings ponds. We recycle all our water, and we have a very efficient process. That very efficient process is also very economic. It reduces the capital required, and our first project will be 75% more capital efficient than most projects to date. We also have our patent covers a broad range of solvents, other biosolvents, and we currently are in development of many other alternatives for improved extraction efficiency. Within our process, we would note that we engage the biosolvent up front, and that eliminates the production of a sludge. We don't use a froth treatment process, which is the basis of all the current commercial technologies. We recycle our solvent, recycle our water, and have best-in-class efficiency. And the clean process solvents are reclaimed as we go. These are all firsts within our business. We call it next-generation technology. You know, the existing commercial projects are large, produce a lot of oil, and have been around a long time. They basically use a process that's almost 100 years old, known as the Clark process, a very innovative process in its time and one that's been advanced over the years. But by changing and adopting a biosolvent in the extraction of oil, we're able to greatly reduce our capital intensity. We're able to recover higher amounts of oil, and we're able to do so much more efficiently, which means less use of fuel and less water and other deposits that have to be laid out in uncompleted extraction. Page 9. Our first project is under construction right now in Utah at a site called PR Spring. This project is an approved surface mine and development project located in northeastern Utah. It's a relatively small scale, 2,000 barrels a day. Construction is about 90% complete, and we expect to complete that project with a successful financing by virtue of finishing the construction and starting it up by the fourth quarter. The project largely uses off-the-shelf equipment. It allows it to be built in a quick modular approach to construction, and we use a selective and integrated mining approach using a continuous mining machine. Utah is where we've started. It's a good place to start. We have a large resource. The state has over 30 billion barrels estimated bitumen in place. It's a state that is development oriented, has worked closely with us to get this project off the ground. We are close to markets, not subject to pipeline problems. We have a low-cost operation with good access to infrastructure and services. We have a first-mover advantage by being the first commercial project to be implemented in the state and, for that matter, within the United States. We have a high-quality bitumen. It's sweet oil, has low sulfur, and we expect it to be relatively valuable in the marketplace. Turning to page 10. Once again, our value proposition. Our PR Spring first phase of development will validate the commerciality of the process. Our primary success measures that will show that commercial validation are that we have no tailings pond, that we get high oil recovery, and that we use low capital in order to build that. And of course, that's almost in the tank already as we've completed 90% of the project and are on target to complete the project for under our original $60 million budget. Once we've done that, we'll be able to begin additional development. USO is a next-generation resource developer. We're unique in our ability to separate oil, and we expect to be able to do that again. Our low capital costs should allow us to build new projects, even in relatively low oil price environments. Our economic return and our environmental attributes allow us to gain the social license and the environmental or the economic license that's required in today's challenging oil environment. Page 11. So where does our future lead us? Well, we'll take the learnings that would come out of phase one. We expect a commercial success. And with production through the fall period, we'll expect to largely prove the commercial process by the end of the year or early into next year. Now, we know that we don't have all the answers. We've got enough answers to be better than anything that's ever been built to date, but we expect to make that even better by learning from phase one and putting that into subsequent developments. We have large undeveloped resources in Utah. We'll expect to expand in the future and to potentially take phased development to other locations in Canada or internationally where oil sand deposits exist that have not yet been developed. Our modular approach allows us to build it quickly. It provides the opportunity to do it at relatively low capital, which means that capital markets don't have to be the big hurdle they are for most current large-scale mega projects. And the off-the-shelf equipment leads to reduced engineering costs, lower capital costs, and increased reliability. Page 12 continues the discussion of future development. You know, around the world, there are billions of barrels of mineable bitumen that's stranded, undeveloped to date, and undevelopable. We have an estimated minimum threshold of roughly about 10 million barrels of oil that it would take to develop a resource. We could go to any size up to the billions of barrels that are found in the current developments in Athabasca. But many developments in those regions are not able to develop small resources of 10 million or even 100 million are beyond the scope of existing developers. So we have the ability to go in and develop those at a low cost and low capital, and we found that this approach will take us to many different parts of the world and allow us to work with existing operators to help them target these stranded resources. And keeping in mind that around the world, in Canada and other locations, the world is demanding a more environmentally responsible approach. So our highly efficient process is also an environmentally responsible one. It recycles its water, has lower greenhouse gas component, and it has a much quicker pace of development and innovative response to changing needs. Page 13. So let's talk about moving this project into production. As I mentioned, it starts with the raising of additional capital to finish the project. We are currently conducting a rights offering, which Glenn Snar, our CFO, will discuss in more detail in a moment. We are targeting to raise up to $12.8 million Canadian. It has a $9.8 million backstop or a guaranteed commitment on part of our largest shareholder, Anchorage Capital. Anchorage has been a longstanding shareholder of the company, has two board seats, and has been integral to our success as a financial and strategic member of our board. We all believe that this is a very good opportunity for shareholders. Our entire executive team intends to subscribe for their full subscription privilege, as do our independent directors. The share offering is an offering at 1.5 cents, which is a substantial, substantially below our current market price. This allows an accessible reach for all of our shareholders to participate at a low price, and I would note that that price is only available to shareholders of record on the date of the offer. This low investment threshold allows investors to maintain or increase their percentage ownership. It's dilutive only if you do not participate. There's a high incentive to participate in order to allow yourself to average down your cost, and I would suggest that all shareholders take care in assessing the value and opportunities of the company as they consider whether to participate. I note that this opportunity is one that has begun to be underpinned by our resource evaluation recently conducted by McDaniel and Associates. Our company has no proven reserves, and we're not allowed to have proven reserves until our process has been commercially proved. Since it's never been done before, obviously it has no commercial analogy to allow an evaluator to call it a proved resource. But with the successful completion and operation of the project over the rest of this year, we hope to be moving our resources into the approved category. Notwithstanding that, McDaniel has evaluated the resources as contingent resources, contingent on the technology development and execution of the project. They've assigned a best estimate, $87 million of risk present value to the project, and that's on the basis of solely of the first couple of pits of mining extraction. Most of our resource has not been evaluated, and additional value will be attributed to those resources once we develop plans for their production. Page 14. You see here a fairly colorful map that shows you our deposits. We've got extensive drilling that's been completed, more than 200 wells on this lease of 5,930 acres. Only the three small pits that you see in the middle of the slide are under development, whereas all the yellow, orange, red, green, and some of the blue is potentially developable and has discovered commercial quantities of resource. And so you can see we have great room for expansion and would intend to expand in the future once we've demonstrated this first project. The resources that were assessed included 12.5 million barrels out of 184 of discovered resource. The rest of that is available for potential development. Much of that may not be economic and has not been assessed, so I counsel you not to do a straight line extrapolation, but we certainly do expect to develop a substantial expansion to our project. So the value that was assessed on our company of $87 million is a risk value, and it does not account for additional upside, such as phase two of development or higher oil prices, additional projects that might be developed, or additional technology that would allow it to be done even more efficiently. I'm going to turn over the microphone to Glenn Snarr, our CFO, who will speak a little bit more specifically how to participate in this rights offering.
Good morning, everybody. Specifically, all shareholders of record on April 25th will be sent a rights offering notice. The circular as well will be sent out to Canadian shareholders. U.S. shareholders will receive a letter denoting the details on how they might also subscribe, as well as international investors. The circular will also be posted on our website, as well as SEDAR, on April 27th. Plus or minus a day or two, depending on how quickly things get finalized. The rights offering circular details how all shareholders can exercise their rights. The rights offering is open to all shareholders in Canada, and due to securities laws in the U.S. and elsewhere in the world, the other investors will be able to subscribe for their rights based on exemptions within their jurisdictions. The record date on is April 25th. Will mail on around the 27th of April. The non-Canadian investors need to pay attention to a specific date, and that is May 17th. If you're unable to or unwilling or not interested to subscribe for your rights, then those rights will be sold on your behalf by Computershare, and then the funds would be returned to you forthwith. So May 17th is a very important date for the non-Canadian rights holders. On the 27th of May, the rights will expire. And then on the 31st of May, the intention is to close the financing once Computershare tallies everything up. We're having an annual general and special meeting on the 18th of May. In that meeting, and that circular is also going out in the mail very shortly, in that meeting we'll be looking to have shareholders approve a name change as well as a share consolidation. Anybody interested, of course, in attending that meeting in person, the meeting will be held at the Petroleum Club here in Calgary at 3:30 p.m. On slide 16, we cover off a very high-level pro forma analysis of what our shares share count looks like. Currently, we have 853 million shares outstanding, about 920 million on a fully diluted basis, taking into account options and our restricted share units and so on. The offering will allow for another 853 million shares to be issued, and with the standby commitment warrants that would be issued pursuant to the standby agreement where Anchorage is is assuring that we'll get $7.5 million U.S. of our total offering. We'll be up to 1.9 billion shares, and that's part of the reason why we want to look for shareholder approval to undertake a consolidation. The approval we're looking for is up to and including 100-to-1 consolidation, not necessarily 100-to-1. So at a 50-to-1, for example, we'd end up with about 38 million shares outstanding. The board will undertake an assessment of what the right number to end up with is and look to pursue that. You'd also be interested to know that the management team and insiders own 3.3% of the company currently and 8.5% on a fully diluted basis. And as Cam said earlier, we all intend to take our pro rata share of the offering. Cam, back to you.
So in conclusion, I would highlight that USO's next-generation biosolvent technology is a paradigm shift, a breakthrough in surface mineable and extraction of oil from oil sands. We expect to demonstrate best-in-class capital efficiency, best-in-class environmental footprint, and best-in-class oil recovery. The commercialization of this process is demonstrated through our first project, unlocks our value proposition. It allows us to initiate the first commercial oil sand development continuously operating in the United States. It unlocks economically, environmentally, and socially stranded resources in Canada and around the world. It has global development potential, and we seek to drive our unique approach to oil development to many other parts of the world. This rights offering is an opportunity for shareholders to participate in the inherent value of the company, and we hope that you will consider it. There are many other slides that are incorporated in here. A lot of them are pictures that show our development and some of the pictorials of the way our environmentally responsible process works and how we recover the lands as we go, and I would encourage you to go through those. In addition, I would note that there are many ways for shareholders to get more information. Our website that you've all had a chance to visit has a lot more information, pictures on our process, and our past press releases and presentations. This presentation will be posted on that website. In addition, as Glenn mentioned, our annual general meeting is being held on May 18th, and we would encourage you all to attend. We will be available to respond to all shareholders and their questions by telephone, and we'll be setting up a number of meetings in locations of convenience to shareholders to meet face-to-face if you're interested, and those dates and meeting places will be announced on our website. At this time, I'll be prepared to take questions from shareholders. I would request that perhaps we might restrict this to shareholders at this time, since it's the shareholders that need to make an important decision. If you're not a shareholder and you do have questions, we'd be pleased to respond to you privately, and we'd be pleased to discuss more about our company with anyone that wants to know more. Valerie, at this time, I'd be prepared to take questions.
Thank you, Mr. Todd. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be brief pause while the participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience.
Well, Valerie, perhaps while we're waiting here, I might start off with a question that was mailed in to us here yesterday from Chris. Chris is highlighting that reading the reserves and resources information is quite complicated, and a lot of people are confused by the various categories, and I can certainly identify with that. So what he wanted to understand is how we book reserves and what it takes to move us into approved category. So I highlighted earlier that the resource category that we've got for this project, as assessed by McDaniel, is a contingent resource category. Contingent resources are resources that are not yet commercially proved. That might be because they're not economic, or it might be because the technology hasn't been developed, or it might be because they don't have some sort of a government approval or infrastructure to get the oil to market. In our case, we have a permit. We have the capital with the completion of this project. We have the project mostly constructed. The technology has been demonstrated in our pilot process, but it has never been done continuously on a scaled basis. And it's that technology development that is the reason for it being classified as contingent, a non-proven commercial technology. So with the development and demonstration of the technology on a commercial basis this fall, we're expecting that after 3 or 4 months of continuous operation, our resources within that contingent resource category would move out of contingent and into proved. And that is the advice that's been given to us by our evaluator. In addition, we have another category of resources called discovered resources. This is a resource base that comes about by virtue of the 200-plus wells that we drilled on our development lease and discovered a significant quantity of oil. That oil then has been assessed to be in place, but because there is no development plan, because there is no mine plan, and because we don't have an estimate of the recoverable amount of that, it remains a discovered resource category. It's a lower category than contingent, and contingent is a lower category than proved. If anybody else has more comment or question to that, I'd be pleased to answer that. Next question.
Thank you. Our next question is from Todd Hummel with BMO Nesbitt Burns. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Todd.
So as a long-term supporter of the company, first let me just say that I'm glad you've been able to keep the lights on and advance this project during one of the worst downturns in the energy market. So, you know, while other oil sand juniors have disappeared under crushing debt levels, it appears, in my mind anyways, that you've been able to manage this prudently with all things considered. So having said that, I've got a few questions to ask, and the first question I have for you is, what's your estimated cost per barrel? And if oil turns out to be lower for longer, are there ways you can reduce your cost per barrel, and by what sort of range would you expect to do that?
Thanks very much, Todd. That's a great question, and I would echo our thank you to you and other shareholders that have been with us for many years as we've tried to take this brilliant idea from a long time ago and convert it into a developable project. Relative to our costs, there are two kinds of costs that I'd like to refer to that are impact oil development. When people look at the oil price, they want to know, can you produce at that oil price? And so what we're really talking about in cost on that basis is the operating cost. Once you've got a project built, do you continue to operate at low prices? So our expected operating cost once we get to capacity on our project is somewhere under $30 a barrel. There are many components of that cost. Those include labor costs, includes energy costs, it includes the cost of our solvent, which is quite expensive. And so we've been fairly generous in assessing how much cost we're going to have. We don't have a track record yet, so we can only estimate based on the models. Our highest cost is solvent, and so most of our work to optimize our cost has been around how to recycle the solvent, how to recover more of it, and how to use different solvents that might cost less. As I mentioned earlier, our patent covers a broad range of solvents, and we're currently working with additional solvents that are cheaper in cost. The second kind of cost that's important is a longer-term cost, and that's the capital cost. And although everybody is worried about oil price today, and what that means about production right now, the more important question for all of society is, what does it cost to develop new oil? And that's the capital investment that's required. Today, oil development companies have stopped investing all that money that they used to make. They don't have it anymore. and their balance sheets are in a difficult place. U.S. Oil Sands doesn't have any debt, but many companies do, and they're taking the meager amounts of cash flow that they get, and they're using it to pay back the interest on their debts. And that means nobody's investing for new production tomorrow, and that is the capital cost. And that's where we have the biggest advantage over all of our competitors. We look at the cost of development in terms of a dollars per barrel per day of capacity. Our project is going to be built for $60 million, and that $60 million applied to a 2,000 barrel a day capacity means every barrel a day costs us approximately a $30,000 per barrel of capacity. And that's a high cost, but it's a quarter of the cost of recent developments that have happened in the oil sands. And that capital efficiency is what we believe sets us apart for the long haul to allow us to continue to invest at low oil prices.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I have another question as well, if that's okay. The question has to do with just, again, looking in the past, you've been successful in addressing any environmental roadblocks. Going forward and looking out, are there any more on the horizon that you're aware of that could create any issues for this company?
Well, Todd, that's a loaded question. And you know very well how challenging that has been for us. Just for everybody else's benefit, I will tell you that this company has gone through regulatory hoops to get our project approved. We first started working with the regulators in 2008, and through that time period, we've applied and received approvals and had numerous interventions and appeals by activist groups seeking to stop development. In fact, we haven't ever mentioned this before, but I'll tell you, we have had 18 major challenges to our process and technical challenges and appeals all the way to the Supreme Court of Utah. And we've won every one of them. Our process is a really good and environmentally sound process. But that doesn't mean that people want development to go ahead anyway. And so there's a very vocal group of folks that are fairly well funded that fight against all developments, and they fight against ours, and they appeal, and we win, and they appeal again, and we win. And I can't tell you I know of another one coming, but every new application that we make will be subject to the same approach. And from our perspective, the best that we can do is to be the best, is to have the best process, to do the all of the homework that's required, to monitor our results, to demonstrate high performance, and to stand up to our ethic, which is to say we aim to be the most environmentally responsible oil developer in this class. And aside from that, I don't know of any place in the world where people can do better than that. Everybody uses oil, including all of those activists that drive to their protest rallies in their SUVs. And I would tell you that the world runs on that oil. But what we need to do as a society is use it more effectively. We need to be more efficient in the way we produce it. We need to be environmentally responsible with the products that come from production. And the same is true of all other energy sources. So, yes, we will face more environmental protest, and we'll be ready for it, and we'll see where that carries us. But we do believe that the regulators have given a clear sign of what their expectations are, and to date we've been very fortunate in being able to work closely with governments to achieve the end result desired.
That's great. Thank you very much. I have one last question, and you've mentioned a few differentiators for the company, such as low capex, efficient operations, there's no tailing ponds, a small environmental project footprint, and, you know, just to name a few. So now, I'm not an analyst, so the question in my mind has to do with how does one value a company like this based on risked contingent resources and some of these other differentiating points that I've mentioned. So would you care to provide some rough estimate or opinion on the value of this company from your perspective, post the financing?
Well, that's I do certainly have an opinion. The Canadian regulatory authorities and the listings for resource evaluation don't allow me to speculate on that value, for example, on a dollars per share basis. I can only counsel shareholders to look at the risk values that have been placed by our resource evaluator and to look at the number of shares we've got as a company, and you guys can do the math of what you think your own particular share might be worth.
Okay.
I can comment generally, though, and the general comment is almost all of the value in our company is what you would call a strategic value. It's not demonstrated yet by the production and cash flow of the company. That will come later with success. It really comes down to what's the potential for development and what would that development be worth if you expanded it multiple fold. So the resource assessment that was done on our company was done on the basis of one 2,000 barrel a day project recovering a little under 10 million barrels of oil. And the potential to develop the rest of our resources would provide multiple folds of that if those resources were commercial. And the potential to develop other resources on other people's lands has the same value. And we believe that that value prospect will be seen by other parties, that we'll continue to develop our own. And all of that is a speculative value, or what we would call a strategic value. And it's why most shareholders in U.S. oil sands are long-term shareholders, like yourself, Todd, who recognize that that value will crystallize over time. But I certainly can't put a dollar per share value on that.
That's no problem. No, I appreciate that. Thank you again. Thank you.
Todd, operator, next question.
Thank you. Once again, please press *1 at this time if you have a question. And our next question is from David Brown, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. I got several questions today, and thanks very much for the presentation.
Thank you, David.
With respect to your operating costs, what do you think your transportation costs will be now?
So in regard to our operating costs, we use transportation within a number of parts of our cost. You're probably referring to the transportation cost of moving it to market, which we don't assess as an operating cost, but rather as a marketing cost and taken off the oil price once it leaves the operation. And so that cost is roughly about $5 to $6 per barrel for trucking the oil to market, and more if we truck it to a rail spur and move it to alternate markets. And so, of course, we haven't done any of that yet. There are numerous refineries that are located within a truck hauling distance of that $5 to $6 per barrel. We do have transportation costs that are implicit in our operating costs because we use mine hauling trucks and various other equipment that moves, but I suspect that's not the root of your question.
Okay, thank you. Number two, I'm looking at slide 20 where you talk about your capital intensity costs.
Go ahead.
And basically you have one, two, three, four, six of these areas where you have costs of about $93,000 a year. Are any of these the thermal oil sand extraction?
No, all of those projects are mining projects, David.
Okay.
To date in the world, there's really only five commercial projects in the whole world for oil sands extraction by mining. They all exist in the Athabasca region of Canada, and all of them are very very large projects in the order of 100,000 barrels per day. And all of those ones have come in very, very expensive, with the last coming in at from Exxon at about $110,000 for every barrel a day of nameplate capacity. And, of course, our first project will come in at about $30,000. And we would expect a scaled version of our project at a 10,000 barrel a day scale to come in under $20,000 per barrel a day.
Okay. What do you know the cost for thermal oil sand extraction intensity? Because your end product's going to compete with that.
Yes. Well, having done thermal extraction myself in a past role, I can tell you that the best in class is probably about $40,000 per barrel day.
Okay.
And typical is more like about $50,000 to $60,000 per barrel day.
Okay, very good. Last question is concerns your presentation down the road, and this is on your previous presentations. You had a project plan with certain targets of getting something done and dates, and I'd just like to see that. After your rights offering is completed, just showing what your intermediate goals are with respect to production and when you plan to meet those goals.
Well, thank you very much for that feedback. And as a project development company, we certainly do hold ourselves to those schedules, and we'll be thrilled to put it back on once we've got the money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as if you followed us, you do know that we had to curtail construction on our operation because we knew we didn't have enough money to finish the project, and we didn't want to run out of money before we raised additional finances. And so we've withdrawn that because we're not going to speculate on when the money comes in. So, but we certainly will put those schedules back on. And as we highlighted in a general sense, we expect to be in production in the fourth quarter of this year.
And down the road, you'll be able to hedge production. Is that correct?
Hedging is a possibility for a company. I would highlight that hedging does put a significant contingency onto your balance sheet. So companies that don't have cash flow are generally not suitable candidates with the banks to do hedging. But that certainly is a possibility for us in future.
Okay, thanks very much. You've answered my question.
Thank you, David. I appreciate your questions.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to turn the meeting back over to you, Mr. Todd.
Okay, thank you. We did have another question come in by email, and it had to do with the question of dilution relative to the rights offering. This shareholder was concerned that he didn't want to be diluted in his ownership within the company and wanted to understand what the math is to allow that not to occur. And so what I would say is that, as Glenn outlined, the company has 853 million shares outstanding right now. And through this rights offering, we expect to issue up to another 853 million shares to shareholders. If the rights offering is fully subscribed, that means that for every share that a shareholder currently has, there will be one more share that's in circulation. And if a person wanted to avoid being diluted on the basis of that, you would need to exercise your full right to acquire one more share at a penny and a half. The math associated with the cost averaging of that has to do with whatever cost you purchased your original share at. If you purchased it at 15 cents, for example, as many of us did, then the cost of a new share is 1.5 cents, and your new total cost base would be 16.5 cents divided by two shares. You would have averaged down to 8.25 cents per share. So that's the opportunity we spoke of earlier. In addition, we would highlight that the deal does come with a deal fee, which is warrants that have the potential for being exercised by the backer, backstop agreement of Anchorage Capital, and that issues another 160 million shares. And so in total, to avoid being diluted, you need to subscribe for the potential of additional shares. And those additional shares are the shares that if shareholders do not subscribe, their rights will go back into a pool that's available to all other shareholders. So if you subscribe for roughly about 20% of the additional amount that you could put in, or i.e. 1.2 shares for every share that you've got, you'd be kept completely whole within this under that math.
hopefully that doesn't cloud the issue, and we'd certainly be prepared to talk to each and every shareholder on that basis. Valerie, I thank you for helping us today and conducting this this meeting. For anyone who wants more information, we'd be pleased to have more discussion with you. We are looking forward to the meetings that we will conduct and will be announced over the next roughly 2 weeks in various locations. Please let us know if you are interested in a meeting, and we'll try to endeavor to get it to at a time and place that works for you. Thank you all, and good day.
Thank you, Mr. Todd. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.